This is Tim Doyle, lead pastor of Restoration Church. Welcome to our weekly podcast featuring encouraging messages from our Sunday morning get-togethers in historic downtown St. Joseph. For more info, visit restorationstj.com.
I get the honor of introducing our guest speaker. As Pastor Tim's away, we can always get a little chance to hear a new message and hear a different word and have it kind of cultivate our body. We have some homegrown love this morning with Heather Chowning. She's had an awesome ministry. I always enjoy hearing her because she has such a good testimony of serving as a missionary in Siberia for 15 years. It's always a joy to hear her. So why don't you give a big old hand clap as she comes up. So, yeah.
Oh my goodness, it's so good to be here this morning. I mean, you don't even know. You don't even know. I mean, we were in Siberia for 15 years, and now we're in South Florida. So we've got a big, big change. But I tell you what, when I come back to Restoration Church, I feel, honestly, I feel like this is home. I feel so much home, so much love from you, and I know some of you, and some of you have no idea who I am, so I'm going to kind of introduce myself, but I'm just so happy to be here, and just so privileged and honored to share the word with you. Zachary said, my name's Heather Chowning, and my husband and I were Assemblies of God missionaries in Siberia, Russia, I was there 15 years, and he was there about 20 years. So this morning, I kind of want to tell you a little bit about our ministry and how we went about our ministry overseas and what we saw, which will just blow your mind because it blows my mind even just thinking about it today. But before I do that, I wanted to tell you a story because I heard a very interesting story the other day about these three gentlemen that were fishing. How many of you like fishing? Anybody? Yeah, well, we got a lot of fishermen here, but these gentlemen were ministers. One was an evangelist. I don't know if I consider myself an evangelist, but I kind of go, that's what I've been doing lately as of late, is going to different churches and speaking, so I guess I'm an evangelist. You ever know a woman evangelist? That's kind of weird. I have no idea. But there was an evangelist, there was a priest, and there was a minister, and I believe the minister was from Restoration. I don't know. He will rename. Nameless. We won't call his name. So they were out on a boat and they were fishing, and one of them had to go to the restroom. So the evangelist, he's like, I've got the faith to do this. Not in the boat, but he got out of the boat and he walked across the water onto the shore. And he comes right back the same way. So the minister, he's like, hey, you know, if this guy can do it, you know, surely I can do it. So he gets his faith up, and he gets out of the boat, and he walks across the water to shore. And he comes back the same way. And the priest is like, hey, listen, I've got the faith. I can do this. So the priest, he gets out of the boat, and he goes right into the water and goes right down and sinks to the bottom. So the minister and the evangelist, they look at each other, and they're just shocked. And they're just like, the evangelist says to the minister, he says, maybe we should tell him where the rocks are. Maybe we... Have you ever thought you had the faith and thought you had it all together and you thought you were going to make it and you thought, I've got this faith, I've got it, I'm strong in it, and then you sink right to the bottom. We've all been there, right? Have you ever been through a difficult time, you're struggling in your life, whatever's going on in your life, and you come to church or you see someone who believes in God and they don't know what to say to you, and they just come up to you and say, just have faith. Just have faith. And you just want to slap that person right in the head. Like, I need a job, you know. I need something tangible. Have you ever had that happen? It would be okay to hear that. It would be okay to listen to that if you knew and if you could define and if you knew what faith really was. Faith defined in Webster's dictionary is this. Faith defined in Webster's dictionary is complete trust and confidence in someone or something. It goes on to define faith, and it says this. It can be also a strong belief in God or the doctrines of religion based on spiritual apprehension rather than proof. I don't get that. Because I don't believe that faith is rather than proof. I believe that you can use, and I believe this is biblical, you can use your reason combined with your faith to believe in God. It says in the Bible, Isaiah says, let us reason together. See, everyone in the world, everyone thinks that, oh, well, the atheists don't have faith or the evolutionists don't have faith. Let me tell you something. Everyone has faith. You always believe in something. There's never a time in your life, and there's never a person that you're going to meet ever in this life that's not going to have faith. You know, let me go ahead and read the scripture here that defines faith in the Bible. In biblical terms, Hebrews 11:1 says this. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. See, it's a substance and an evidence. It's something tangible. And we never think of faith like that. We think it's out there. We think of, you know, you might have faith and I don't have faith. And, you know, faith in the Bible sense, in godly terms, faith can be tangible. See, when I look at the Bible and I look at God's creation and I look at things that were created by God and the trees and the forests and the mountains, and I see those things and I think to myself, there is no way that is by chance. There's no way. It's actually an impossibility. Let me read you something. I saw this online this morning, and I like to read secular sites and kind of figure out what people are, you know, kind of believing and such. Well, this gentleman, he's an evolutionist. His name is Harold Moskowitz. He says, he examined the possibility of chance formation, even the simplest form of a living organism. Just the chance that something was formed out of chance. The statistical probability of that is 1 in 10 to the 34th power. So what does that mean to just common people, right? 1 in 10 to the 34 power is like this. It's like the chance of a protein even developing in your body, the chance of that happening by chance, is like going out and putting coins all over the state of Texas. Any Texans in the room? Anybody been to Texas? Okay, if you're breathing, right? I mean, we're Missourians. We always go down 35 to Texas, right? We always come. If you did that, if you put coins and you just dotted one coin, you put like a marker on the coin, and you put it in the state of Texas, just somewhere in the state of Texas, but you layered the coins, not just one layer thick, all across the state, but two layers thick, it would be like the probability of evolution or something developing by chance in this world is like sending out a blind man to that state of Texas with those coins on the ground and him finding that coin or her. That's the probability. That's a statistical probability of life being created by chance. It can't happen. I don't believe it. I can't even comprehend. Okay, my mind is small. Ladies and gentlemen, I am not a smart person. I am not. I'm not a dumb person, but believe me, I am no genius. I took the ACT twice when I was, I graduated from Central High School. Now this is no reflection on Central High School by any stance, but when I took the ACT, I got 17, okay? That's not good. I took it again thinking I got 19. I'm terrible. And so I'm like, okay, you know, my life is not going to be, I'm not going to get a scholarship anywhere to any good schools or anything like that. But in my mind, there is no chance in this world, in my small pea brain mind, that anything in this world can be developed by chance. There's no way. See, you can use reason and faith to couple together. They're a symbiotic relationship. It's a relationship that works to your benefit to believe that there is a God. There's no other way, ladies and gentlemen. If you're in this room and you say, I don't believe in anything, that's hogwash. That's a Missouri term. That's not I live in Florida. That is a Missouri term, hogwash. That is hogwash. There's no way that everyone believes in something. Carl Sagan. That's funny. Carl Sagan. You've heard of Karl Marx and Carl Sagan. I'm sure Karl Marx thought the same way. Carl Sagan said this. He said that, contrary to scripture, many believe that faith is necessary to fill in the gaps in absence of real tangible evidence. See, Carl Sagan, sorry, he did it again. Carl Sagan, if he was correct in his summation of what constitutes faith, then it takes a lot more faith to believe to be an atheist than it does to believe in the God of the Bible. It takes a lot more faith to believe that. You know, send that to your professors at Missouri Western. You know, take that to the bank in your science class. See, in our minds, we don't quite understand that you can use reason. You can use reason. It says this in Romans 1. This isn't on your screen, so you're gonna have to like be like me, put on your glasses, because I'm over 40, by the way. Put on your glasses and can I hear it for the over 40s? Come on. No, come on. All right. Awesome. Cool. All you youngins out there. It says this in Romans 1:20. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and the sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power, and his divine nature, so that they have no excuse for not knowing God. There is no excuse for not believing in God. No excuse. Because it's out there. When you look at the trees, when you look at the plants, when you look at human beings, when you look at each other, when you take a breath, it's there. You were created by God. It's unmistakable, undeniable fact. So faith. Jesus, when he talks about faith, he uses a rhetorical hyperbole. Anybody know what the rhetorical hyperbole is? Yes, please tell me. There you go. Excellent. She's a teacher. See, I knew it. First service, there were nobody that knew what a rhetorical hyperbole is. I'm like, any teachers in the house? And they're like, oh, no. They were all half asleep. Now you're like, yes. She got the question right. You get an A+ today. So a rhetorical hyperbole is an extreme exaggeration, like this book weighs a ton. Or I'm hungry, I could eat a cow, right? Sometimes I am hungry, I could eat a cow. But Jesus uses this rhetorical hyperbole, and he says this, and it's in the scriptures, and it says Luke 17:6. And the Lord said, this is what it says, Luke 17:6. And the Lord said, if you have faith like the grain of a mustard seed, you can say to a mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. So Jesus is using this extreme exaggeration to explain the concept of faith. So the concept of faith, and this is in response to a question that the disciples asked him. They asked him this, Lord, increase, or it was like just a request, Lord, increase our faith. Like, how do we make our faith grow? And you know, that's the cry of most Christians. Lord, how do I increase my faith? How do I get to the point from where I am today where I can believe something greater? How, if I did that, God, if that would just happen in my life, then it would be so much easier to live. It would be so much easier to exist. I would have so much more more peace in my life. I'd have so much more, you know, financial blessing. I'd have so much more money, or I'd have so much more talent, or I'd have so much more ability. God, if I just had more faith. How many of you have thought that? If I just had more faith, then so many more people would be saved, or so much more things would happen good in my life. That's the cry of most Christians. It's been my cry in the past. And the disciples, that was their cry. If we just had this, Jesus, then our lives would be better. But you know what? It's interesting because unshakable faith, this faith that cannot be shaken, this faith that grows inside of us, is not because it's so great. See, Jesus looked at them and he gave them this really interesting answer. See, faith can be defined by what it is, which is a substance and an evidence, and no one can ever tell me different. It is a substance and an evidence, but faith can be also defined by what it is not. Faith is not, number one, faith is not instantaneous results. It's not. People look at me and they look at my ministry, they look at what we've done over in Russia. I mean, we've seen incredible miracles. We've seen things that I can't even define myself. I don't even know how it happened. One time we were doing a baptism in a river, and this river is the one of the longest rivers, I think actually the third longest river in all of the world. It's called the Yenisei River. And it's the flow of it is very rapid. But in the summertime, it gets pretty hot in Siberia, believe it or not. They have like I've been in minus 50 and I've been in plus 110. That's the extreme differences. We actually called our ministry Breaking the Ice, Extreme Degrees, because, you know, what we did was we saw people's lives, you know, and their hearts open to the gospel, and we broke through the ice in their heart. But this gentleman wanted to be baptized, and that in August and July was the only time that we could baptize, you know, without someone freezing to death in the water. So this gentleman wanted to be baptized so badly that he'd walked on a crippled leg 20 miles to just be baptized. When he would walk, he would just kind of limp, and then he'd have to rest. Just a few steps, and then rest. So this gentleman gets to the river. He comes down to the river. He comes to the person who's baptizing him. He struggles to even get out into the river to be baptized because the water is rushing so hard. And they put him in the water. This is what happens. I kid you not. The man went down in the water, a crippled man. He came up and he ran out of the water, completely healed, completely touched by the power of God. And you look at that and you say, oh, gosh, you had such great faith, Heather. Oh, gosh, Heather, you had your husband, and you went over Siberia. You saw so many things happen. You saw great things, and your faith is so great. I wish I could. When I was in Siberia, and sometimes I amaze myself at these stories, because when I was preaching one time, I was very sick. I was ill for a long time. I don't know what it was, but I think it was allergies. I finally figured it out. But I was preaching to a group of probably 50, 60 kids, young people. And honestly, they'd never heard the name of Jesus. This was an area of Russia that was completely Buddhist, completely shaman, completely void of any witness of the gospel. So I'm speaking about God, and you have to be very careful about how you speak because they have no idea who Jesus is. We've heard of Jesus. We know, you know, the Bible. They don't even know what the book is. I've been to villages where I give them a Bible in their language, and they would be like, what's this? What is a Bible? So I'm speaking to these type of kids, and at the end of the service, I remember, I'm like, God, I can't even hear myself think. I don't even know what I'm saying. So I give the altar call, and I said, how many of you would like to give up your Buddhist religion, and how many of you would like to give up your shaman religion? And believe me, if they give it up, they give their family up, they give their culture up, they are totally disemboweled by everyone. And I said, how many of you would like to do that this morning or this afternoon? I think it was an afternoon. And you know what happened? The entire place stood up and came forward for salvation. The entire congregation of people. Now, I'm just a girl from St. Joe. I mean, I've got mustard seed faith, and I don't even know if sometimes it's that big. That's just who I am. You know what mustard seed faith is? It's ordinary people faith. It's not extraordinary, great, phenomenal preacher faith. It's blue-collar worker faith. Come on. How many of you are blue-collar workers? How many of you work for a living? How many of you strive for a living? How many of you aren't you know, the smartest, you know, tack in the shed or the smartest tool in the shed? That's the type of faith. That's the type of faith. And Jesus is looking at them, and he's looking right into their faces. And I can imagine them and just the pain on their face and just the quiver in their voice saying, Jesus, increase our faith, please. And he's saying to them, listen, you got this. You got it. It's okay. See, we have this condemnation in our lives. We have this view that we have to have instantaneous results. Oh, I didn't see my family saved. Oh, I didn't see this result happen when I prayed for this person. Or I've still got cancer. Or I've still got an issue. Or, you know, you don't have to see that. You don't have to instantaneously see anything in your life. Jesus is looking at you this morning. And I'm telling you, I'm standing here with a word of God for you this morning. You've got this. You've got this. Restoration, you've got this. This is a church that's going to grow. This is a church that's going to thrive. I'm believing it. Next time I come to this church, the whole place is going to be filled in that building right there. You've got this. His response was amazing to me. Relax. See that mustard seed? See that small seed? This is people who screw up daily faith. This is the this is the ungifted, untalented, not wealthy faith. You've got this. I love that about Jesus. He just brings such ordinary things to extraordinary heights. That's me. Mustard seeds are interesting things because, you know, there's a lot of different things about a mustard seed. We look at a mustard seed, we look at the size, and we think, well, that's the significance, and it is significant about the size. But let me tell you about a mustard seed. Back in the days when Jesus was talking about a mustard seed, they were used in the Roman culture, they were used in the Greek culture, they were used in the Jewish culture, they were used all across the cultures. You know, mustard seeds are all over the world. Faith is all over the world. Faith is all over this planet. You know, this morning, we're sitting here this morning, and there are people worshiping over in Russia just exactly right at this moment. Faith crosses all borders. Faith crosses all boundaries. You know, we look at faith and we think, oh, but so-and-so hasn't been saved or so-and-so hasn't been healed. You know, in Russia, I tell you these stories, but as of July the 20th of this year, President Putin had signed a law and a document stating that no one can witness Christianity without being prosecuted. Did you know that it's illegal today in Russia to proselytize anyone, to evangelize anyone? It's illegal. And actually, all the churches that do not have a building, a standalone building, that's their building, not a rented facility, those churches are closed today. See, the doors of Russia have closed. And communism and socialism and all those things that they experienced from the 40s to the 90s, all of that is coming back right now in Russia. Do we look at those people and say, well, maybe they don't have enough faith? That's why it happened. We prayed. We prayed, but they still signed the law. See, God isn't looking at instantaneous results. He's not looking at us and saying, you know, your faith. He's not looking at the fact that you in your life are struggling, or you in your life don't have what it takes, or you know, you have sickness, or you have a disease, or you don't have enough money, or you don't have a job. He's not looking at those things. God is not looking at those things. Faith is more than that. Faith also, you know, the mustard seed faith, it's used in all sorts of forms. It's so funny how mustard seeds are related to faith. They're whole seeds, ground powder, extract oil. Faith comes in all forms. You don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to be an evangelist. You don't have to be a missionary. You don't have to be anything special in your life. Faith can be in a form that God gives you. It's used in all forms. Faith also, this is amazing, because faith, according to the American Journal of Nutrition, it says that they both state that the major benefit of the mustard seed in relation to reducing all cardiac events such as heart attacks and stroke, that's faith inside of you. Did you know faith has an anti-cancer agent in it? Or not faith, but mustard seed. The mustard seeds have an anti-cancer agent within them that's inside of you today. Did you know that faith as a mustard seed, it has minerals, and it has vitamins, and it has iron, magnesium, fiber, calcium, protein, omega-3, fatty acids, zinc. That's inside of a mustard seed. That health is inside of you this morning. Come on. That is good stuff. That is something that I've never even looked at before. When I started studying mustard seeds, I'm like, whoa, this little thing, this little bitty seed is a powerful weapon used at your disposal. And listen to me, you've got this. Oh, you've got this. Don't you feel it? That faith can be inside. That faith is inside of you now. You don't have to have this great, humongous ministry. You don't have to have great results. Oh, that person has got it. You've got this. Mustard seeds were considered in Jesus' times as an invasive weed. See, when Jesus was saying mustard seeds about mustard seeds, see, they were not considered this great plant that everyone used. They were being pulled out. They were of weeds. They were ugly. They weren't, you know, we don't want that to grow. Guess what? People aren't going to believe what you believe. Guess what? People aren't going to go, oh, you're a Christian. Oh, your faith is so great. What are they going to say to you? Oh, that's just fill in the blank. You're just filling in what you know, it's just making you, you ever hear this? It's just making you feel good, right? No, that's not for me. Faith is just something that makes people feel good. It's not real. That's what I've always encountered with people. You know, people, they don't believe in what we believe. You know what? Because faith is something that takes our belief. It takes us a little bit longer. It takes something inside of us, but we can use our reason to develop our faith. We can use that reason to couple with our faith to be a symbiotic relationship where it grows inside of us so strongly and it develops something that solidifies in our life. Can never be taken away from me. Let me tell you what, I was not a good person growing up. Some of you in this room know me from my childhood. And believe me, when I was going to Central and Missouri Western and all these places, I never wanted to be a missionary. I was just like, that's it. No way, no how, nobody's going to talk me into it. I got to be honest, I hated church. I hated my family. I hated everything. And God took something like me and transformed my life so drastically that I'm telling you what, I'm going to stand here today and make a confession to you. Nothing can take my faith. Nothing. I've been through a lot in my life. But, you know, Jesus talks about this. Because faith, you say, well, how do I activate it? How do I get, you know, how do I make this? Heather, you say it's inside of me, but I don't feel it. All right? I don't feel this great thing that you're talking about. I don't know what you're talking about. Listen, what's it say after? Let's look at the scripture that Jesus talks about after. In Luke 17, 7 through 10, Jesus says this obscure story after this declaration of faith. And he says this: when a servant comes in from plowing or taking care of sheep, does his master say, ah, come in and eat with me? No. He says, prepare my meal, put on your apron, and serve me while I eat. Then you eat later. Does the master thank the servant? Oh, thank you for doing what he's told to do. Of course not. In the same way, when you obey me, you should say, we are unworthy servants who have simply done our duty. What an obscure story after this message of faith. What is he talking about? Why does he mention it? When Jesus is talking about faith, he says something that's very interesting because he connects faith with service and obedience. How many of you work for a living? How many of you are appreciated by your bosses? Oh, come on. Oh, thank you for coming to work today. Oh, thank you for filling out those forms. Oh, you did such a good job. Come on. We go through life, even in the church sometimes. We clean the whole dang building, and I never hear Krista say anything about thank yous. Oh, Pastor Tim never thanked me for playing the guitar this morning. But we go through life like this. We exist like this. We don't get pats on the back. How many of you single moms in the building? How many single dads in the building? Your kids thank you for breakfast this morning? Probably not. They thank you for clothing me and feeding me. Come on, parents in this room are like, no, doesn't happen. See, we go through life devalued and unappreciated. And you know what? Sometimes we just got to get through it. All the time, we've got to say, I don't care if anybody says thank you to me, I'm going to serve the Lord. I don't care if anybody appreciates me, I'm going to serve the Lord. I don't care if my kids devalue me and if they cuss me out, come on. I don't care if that happens, I'm going to serve the Lord because that's faith. That's where the rubber meets the road. That's where we ignite our faith. That's where we activate our faith. And that's where we, you know, that's where it transforms our life. The ordinary day-to-day events in our life will transform your faith. The ordinary times in your life, the devalued times where you say, I'm going to give up on Jesus, and you come through that door on Sunday morning, that's where the rubber meets the road, and that's where faith is established in your life. That's where it's activated. You just activated your faith by treading through the rain into here. Oh my, it sprinkled a little bit, right? People, we had people standing outside the doors and minus 30 degree weather trying to get inside because they were so hungry for God, because their faith, they needed something more in their life. And we had one time, we had a whole group of people outside the door of this evangelism event we were going to have. They were, we didn't even know when they were there. We just ministered to this community, and we had invited these people, and nobody showed up. It was a community, they call them Dom Kultura, which is a house of culture. And all of the Soviet period, they all had these. So we invited these people, and nobody showed up to the event. And when we told them we weren't going to have a service, they said, "What do you mean you're not going to have a service?" Said, "Well, it was 5 o'clock. Nobody's here. Nobody showed up." He says, "Well, we don't open the doors till 5 o'clock. You said 5 o'clock. So when we opened the doors, there was such a rush of people that broke the doors to the house that we were meeting in, this Dom Kultura. They came in. My husband gave the message, just a basic evangelistic message. These people were poor. I think it was a 98% unemployment rate in this community. 98%. And they had this thing called a White Mountain. They called this area called White Mountain because it had asbestos in the air, and there was an asbestos plant there. And so people were having cancer, people were having major issues in their health. We gave the invitation. My husband gave the word. This is phenomenal. He gave the word that Jesus would save your soul and that you should, follow him. And that's another thing. The entire place stood up and came forward. And my husband, being Mr. Faith, didn't believe that that was possible. And he told him to go back and sit down. And he looked at the interpreter and he said, "I'm not giving anything for free. I don't know what you told those people." And so the people, he said, "Listen, if you say yes to Jesus, you're going to say yes to him and no to your religion. You're going to say no to Buddhism. You're going to say no to the shamanists, and you're going to say yes to Jesus. How many of you would like to receive Jesus for real this time?" 215 people came up and gave their hearts to Jesus that morning. 215 people gave their hearts to Jesus that morning. I'm telling you, when you have mustard seed faith, it doesn't mean anything like, "Oh, that's such a great story, Heather. Oh, you're going to have, there's such great results." But you know what? Small faith can produce great results, and great faith might not produce any visible results at all. See, faith is not, we give up on faith so easily. We just had a handful of believers when we started, and people, I mean, let me tell you, they were not very good believers. I mean, they were bad believers. You ever been a bad believer? I've been there, right? I mean, when we had a church, and right adjacent to our church was a bar, and I remember going, and I play guitar a little bit, not like these guys, but I play, and I was going to worship practice, and I got out of my worship practice, and I go to my car. It's freezing, by the way, it's in Siberia, so I'm getting in my car, and I see this lady come out of the adjacent building, and she's totally drunk. I'm like, "That's Sister so-and-so." I'm like, "Oh, my gosh." So we had this handful of believers, this mustard seed of believers. And by the time we left Russia, it was the most Christians in the entire country lived in the Buddhist community of Tuva, Russia, where we ministered for 15 years. Per capita, the most believers in all of Russia. I'm not a great faith person, but I tell you what, service and obedience, keeping at it, keeping going. Don't stop praying. Don't stop believing for your children. Don't stop your faith. You know, we give up on faith so easily. It's like this. I like this. It's like quitting after the eighth day of running because you're fat. That's what it's like. It's like stopping playing the piano and you're like, "Yeah, amen." It's like stopping playing the piano after 6 months because you haven't played at Carnegie Hall yet. Just give it all up. But we do that with our faith. We just give it up. it's all right. Jesus hasn't answered my prayer. I'm not going to go back to church. I gave money in the offering, and I haven't seen any result. You know, you ever been there? I go there all the time. But we give up on faith so easily. Faith, making day-to-day, just simple day-to-day things and choices that we make, create a radical difference. Faith is not instantaneous results. And faith is not condemning. You ever been condemned by your faith? You ever felt like, oh, I don't have enough faith? I can imagine the disciples coming into Jesus and with shame and saying, oh, Jesus, you do all these sorts of things. I can't do that. We can't do that, Jesus. Lord, increase our faith. I don't got it. I can just imagine the condemnation that they had. I can just hear it in the scriptures. I remember we were in my husband and I, we minister in a church in South Florida, and we're the minority in the church again. We've always been the minority for our whole married life. We in Russia, we were a minority because they were all Asian. In South Florida, we're a minority because it's an African-American / Haitian / Cuban / Portuguese. They're all sort of mixed culture. So when we're going in this church, you know, there's all sorts of beliefs in these different cultures. And this one gentleman, he comes up to me and he's just like, he's so condemned because we were watching this video. This video had this minister who had given up his entire wealth to the church. He just gave it up. This is on a video. I can't remember the guy's name. And he gave it up and he gave it all of his, can you imagine doing this? Giving up your entire retirement. Just handed it over to the church because he felt like God gave him the word to do that. That takes some faith. So he does this, and afterwards, you know, God blesses the man again, and it's an amazing story. But after that video, the gentleman comes up to me, and he says to me, I was leaving the class, and he said, Heather, I can't do that. I could never do that. I can't do that. I can't imagine doing that. And it was like guilt, condemnation came over him. And I'm like, listen, you got this. It's all right. Just like Jesus is so good to us, isn't he? You got this. It's all right. I'm not asking you to give up something that you can't give right now. You know, sometimes it happens to people. Sometimes it doesn't. I'm going to ask you to give up what you can give. Maybe it's given your life to go all the way over in Russia. Believe me, I never wanted to be a missionary. Never. I actually told people I would never, ever be a missionary. I'd never be a minister. I would never be a missionary. I'd said all these things. Never say never, girlfriend. And you have this condemnation and guilt. But in my Bible, it says that there is therefore now no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore no condemnation in Christ Jesus. Faith does not produce condemning spirit. Faith is not for that. In Russia, we have a very cold climate. And you ever see the Christmas story? The movie, The Christmas Story? Well, that's what our kids look like. They're like the little Michelin men roaming all over the city. There was this little baby. She was like a year old, and I happened to be at their house, this couple's house that had this baby. She'd had some health problems. And I remember them taking all these clothes off of her, and it was a big process and kind of a little bit, I don't know, traumatizing a little bit. But when they took the baby out of the clothes, the baby fell dead right in the parents' arms, just completely limp with her arms down, and her head to the side, and not breathing. And I was just sitting there. I didn't expect that. And the parents were shaking her. Christina, Christina. And lifting her up. I'll never forget the father lifting her up in the air and saying, Gaspod pomagi, God help. And after a while, that little baby, after maybe maybe 20 minutes or so, we were just... didn't know what to do, praying and And the baby just starts breathing and came back to life. And it's not because she was dead. It was actually because she had seizures. And it was a medically induced seizure. It was something that happened in her brain where she would have these seizures. And the baby would have them. And the mom and dad never knew at what moment that baby would stop breathing and never wake up. And you know what happened? People that were believers would call them and say, "Where's your faith? Your baby is sick because you have sin. What sin haven't you confessed?" And I remember Tatiana, the mother, calling me and saying, "Heather, what do I do? I don't know what sin." And she would try to confess her sins. "I don't know what faith I can have more." And she would try to raise her faith up in some way. And she had such condemnation. And can you imagine going through that with your daughter or your son and people calling you and saying, "Where's your sin? Where's your faith?" But that's what the devil does to us. That's how he tries to control us. That's how he tries. You don't have enough faith. That's why you're not seeing the results. You don't have enough faith. That's why you're in the situation you're in. You are in sin. You have something wrong with your life. And the devil does that to us. And he keeps doing to us. And I'm telling you, I'm standing up here before you. And I'm just trying to encourage you and saying, you got this. You got this. You've got it inside of you. You've got the mustard seed inside of you. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. You know, the last thing I'm going to tell you is that faith is not instantaneous results. It is not condemning, and it is not fear. Amen. Faith is not fear. See, in our lives, we have a lot of fear. Man, I had a lot of fear. My husband, he preached here last year, and he told a story about airplanes. We are awful on airplanes. I always told him if we were going to die, it was going to be on an airplane. Because him and airplanes are like terrible together. And when he gets on a plane, you never know what's going to happen. If you see Chowning, if you see that, you don't want to be on an airplane with Mike Chowning. He told a story last year of when that plane, you remember this story? I don't know if you were here, but the plane took off from crossing air to Siberia and it began to list to one side. And he saw the look of panic on the stewardess's face as she ran down the aisle. And she came up to him, and he stopped her in the middle of the aisle, and he said, in his broken Russian, "What's wrong? Что случилось?" In her broken English, she said these words, "Plane broke." Now, I'll tell you what, you might have more faith than us, but that surely bothered him. He had no idea what was going to happen. Obviously, he made it. He landed safely, but the engine had fallen off the plane. He had told me so many stories about these airplanes that I was just afraid. I mean, takeoff and landing, I would just be praying, "Oh, Jesus." You know, and on Russian flights, when the landing gear goes down, it creaks. Like WD-40, something needs to happen on those. You just, and you could just feel it underneath your feet, and it just rumbles. And I'm like, "Oh, God, please get the landing gear down. Oh, Jesus. Please, God, help that pilot." Because I can't even see out the window. There's so much fog Siberia's, and then the ice on the runway. I won't even go there. And so I was so afraid every time that takeoff and landing, I was so afraid and I was so fearful that I would just pray and pray and pray and pray and pray. And all of a sudden I said, "God, I can't get over this fear. I can't get over this. Where's my faith? Where's my faith?" And you know what he told me? He said, "Stop your praying. Stop praying, Heather. Cut it out. Have faith. Stop it." And all of a sudden, I remember the flight. That I just said, "I'm going to let it go. I'm going to have faith." And at that moment, the fear was gone. Completely and totally, utterly gone. I used to be afraid to leave my house. In Russia, you have to order, like, let's say if you're at Walmart, there's kiosks all over Walmart, can you imagine? And you have to go ask for products. There's the can kiosk. There's the meat kiosk. There's the, you know, vegetable kiosk. And you had to ask for things in Russia. They didn't have supermarkets because people were thieves and they didn't want to lose their products. That, you know, that take care of the issue. But I was afraid because I didn't know the language very well. And so I was afraid. I would leave my house. I mean, people knew where we lived. After 9/11, they had graffitied and they had indented on my wall outside my corridor in my apartment building after 9/11, "I'm going to jihad you, you beep." And they had an arrow pointed to my house. I didn't know what jihad was. I thought they misspelled Jesus or something. I was like, it wasn't Jesus. They graffitied a sign outside my house that said in broken English, it said, "Yankee go homo." I wasn't sure they wanted to go to Brokeback Mountain, America. I was like, what do they want me to do here? You see, you imagine my fear, you know? And I never told it. I mean, for years I had fear. For years I didn't want to leave my house. And I thought, well, God, I just got to get over this fear. I just got to get over. And then all of a sudden, when I came back to America one time, that I was in a prayer group, a women's prayer group here in St. Joseph. And they said, "What can we pray for you?" I said, "I am afraid all the time." I never admit that. I'm a very proud person. I don't like to admit weaknesses, right? And I said, "I'm just afraid all the time. I don't know how to do it." They prayed for me. I went back to Russia, and I never was afraid again. You know why? Let me tell you why. Because faith is a gift. It says in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. It is not of your doing. It is a gift of God, not the results of works." So what happens? How do we activate this? How do we get it? Sometimes it's just a gift that you need. Sometimes you need to be free from your fears. Sometimes you need to be set free. There's people in this room that need to be set free from their condemnation, from their fears of not being good enough, or because they don't have any results, or because some people in this room just need to be set free. Some people in this room have to have, you've got so much going on in your life that you don't know where to turn. You don't know what to do. And you need to just have a word right now that you got this. Some of you in this room just need to stop and have faith. Amen? Some of you in this room, I'm just a girl from St. Joe. Just a girl that's traveled the world. I've done a whole bunch of stuff. I've taken a lot of risks. But listen, I got this mustard seed faith just like you. And I'm just here to encourage you today. I'm just here to lift you up. Let me read this to you. How do you know you are operating an unshakable faith today? How do you know you're operating an unshakable faith today? Not because you are a faith healer, not because you are without failure, not because of instantaneous results. You are sticking with the faith in daily life. You are living in the present, not fearing the future. And you are hearing the word of God, and you are praying and humbling yourself before God, and you are in service to Jesus Christ. That's where your faith solidifies. That's where your faith activates. Don't ever stop. Don't ever quit. You've got this. Father God, I pray for everyone in this room. God, I pray for a spirit of faith. Where there's been fear, where there's been condemnation, devil, where you have tried to trick us into thinking that God is not real. I come against that in the name of Jesus. And I pray that your faith would arise. God, that our realization would arise in who we are in you. Father, I pray for every person in this room. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're in this room and you're like, "I'm struggling with my faith," maybe it's, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's fear that's battling your faith. I don't know what you're going through in your life. I don't know what condemnation maybe you've put on yourself or maybe someone else has put on you. Let's just leave this place free today. Let's just leave this place free. You've got this. You've got this. You don't need that anymore in your life. Whatever fear you have about the future, listen, fear battles your future and faith works today. Fear battles the things in your future. and your thoughts and the things that you are afraid of. But faith works in this instant, in this moment, right now, today. Father, I pray for everyone in this room. If you're in this place and you say, that's me, I need a little boost. I need freedom from fear. I need freedom from condemnation. I need freedom, God. Heather, I need freedom today. Just raise your hand up and I'll see it. Put it back down. I see your hands all over this place. I see them all over this place. Father, you see these hands, and I pray, God, that you would give us faith, that you would give us the gift of faith if we need it. I pray for the gift of faith to be given. I pray against any fear. Devil, you do not have a hand on our lives. There is therefore now no condemnation in this room. There is therefore now no fear. There is therefore now no misunderstanding of who God really is. I pray, God, that you would arise in our spirit, that you would arise in our life, and that, Father, you would condemn the enemy, condemn the devil, Father. I pray, Father, that you would arise in our lives, Jesus, by the Spirit of the living God, that faith would arise. Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Just receive that faith right now. Faith can be broken, fear can be broken in an instant with faith. Fear can be broken in an instant. Condemnation can be broken in an instant. And I pray, Father God, that as we leave these four walls, that there would be nothing that we would be afraid of, and there would be nothing, Father God, that could conquer us. We give our children to you. We give our jobs to you. We give our finances to you, God, and we will not pray out of fear. We will pray out of faith from now on, in Jesus' name.
Thank you so much for listening today. To connect with or support the vision of this pioneering work in historic downtown St. Joseph, visit restorationstj.com, or better yet, come see us in person this Sunday at 9 and 10:45 a.m. We hope to see you soon.